The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
This may be our most premier in-person guest.
Yes.
To date.
Which says something about the show.
That's true.
I'm laughing already.
So that third voice you're hearing is none other than Jim Daly. Jim, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you. And in Chicago.
Yes. And in Chicago. Great. That's not what you were saying before you went live.
Well, there is some snow on the ground. That's true. You know, that makes me feel at home in Colorado.
That's true. Don't remind us. Okay, for anyone listening, why don't you give us just an introduction about who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about. Talk for as long or as little as you want just about...
Oh, I love this.
Please
well,
do.
I was born. No, man, we are here. John Fuller's here with me, and we're doing a quick five-city tour, really to announce a May 9th event that is was birthed out of our last May's event in Times Square. Hmm. So we did this thing, and we brought live ultrasound to Times Square. It was awesome. Hmm. We had about 20,000 people show up, and it was just a great day. So this tour is really to announce on May 9th that we're going to have a five-city simulcast and attempt to do the same thing, have great speakers, great music, and live ultrasounds in each of those locations.
Wow. So talk to us more about that event. I remember, I think we talked to John last year about the May 9th event in Times Square. And so tell us, first of all, how that went. What was the reaction? Because I remember when we talked about it before it went on going, sounds like it could get dangerous. It could get
oh, it had all
it
of that.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it had the element.
Yeah, I mean, tell us how the last one went, and then we can look forward.
So, Jeannie Mancini, I asked Jeannie, who's the president of March for Life, to be my co-host, and I just love Jeannie and what she's doing with the March for Life, and that happens in January. It's a great march for the preborn baby.
Yeah.
They'll have 200,000 people show up, usually in really bad weather, January 24th in D.C. And so I said this would be a natural alliance with Jeannie, the Catholic community, for the Protestant community to get together. So that was the backdrop. So Jeannie and I are up there doing voice checks on the mic a couple hours before the event
in Times Square.
Wow. We have our mobile unit that's all decked out with, you know, save a baby, all that kind of thing. And all of a sudden people start walking by, and they're using words that we don't use in Christianity, you know. I mean, and Jeannie leans over and says, is this what the day is going to be like?
Yeah, right.
What should we do? I said, I think all we can do is pray and just pray that we get through this thing. But it was amazing. And so we had 20,000 people showed up.
Wow.
We had about 300-400 protesters. And as they went by this mobile unit, which had the ultrasound where we did the live ultrasound, they were spitting on it. They were throwing stuff at it.
No kidding.
It was so kind of heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't drive any kind of anger in me. Usually the more people are angry with me about something, especially related to Scripture, kind of the happier I get.
Mm.
I mean, it's not a thing. I just smile at them, and people don't know what to do with that.
Right.
Kind of that happy warrior approach,
right?
And so even at the event, I mean, we stopped and prayed for them three times. Imagine 300 protesters in there. Hey, let's stop and pray for these guys. Lord, I hope you will open their eyes to what they're doing and what they're supporting, the taking of innocent human life.
Mm.
Like you've opened our eyes, Lord. No one's different under you. We're all the same. We need to see your heart for this preborn child.
Wow.
And they're like, what?
But we don't like you.
And, you know, one of the fun things was we had to rent a nearby place for the crew to eat and all that. We probably had 150 people working on the whole thing. So we had to rent the Hard Rock Cafe. So the manager at the end of the event told one of our focus staff, you know, we didn't know what to expect with you guys from the pro-life community. We didn't know if you'd be all weird. But you guys are like just joyful and normal people. Is that awesome?
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know what they expected. Like, here we are from the pro-life community. We want to eat you.
Right. Or you're wearing like robes.
Yeah, right. But, you know, it's just so funny just to be joyful and go in and say, hey, we're just for the woman. And we're for the baby.
Wow.
And we think the better choice is life.
Mm.
And we acknowledge there's a choice. We want to rally a woman to say, okay, I'm going to I'm going to bring my baby into this world and either keep it, give it up for adoption, find an alternative that allows that baby to have the life God has given it.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So you mentioned that you're on this tour right now.
Yeah, right. Which, this is the last day, and this is why I'm sounding so insane.
But my guess is that most people listening have never been on a tour before, right? I have no idea. Like, what is it like being on a tour in the first place? And two, are there any stories or things that kind of stand out to you as like, oh, man, this is a highlight?
The first thing is when you end up at your next hotel and standing in front of room 324 and you're going, oh, my goodness, I don't think this is my room.
We've all been there.
That happens. Or waking up in the middle of the night going, where am I?
Where am I?
That's kind of normal. But it's a lot of fun. John and I, and there's a whole host of folks from Focus on the Family doing social media and all that kind of thing. But, you know, we started in Denver, of course, took off Monday morning, flew out to Southern California, which will be one of the sites in Orange County. Had a great event there, and in fact, we had Johnny Erickson Tata, and she connected with the audience. And then we took off for Dallas. We landed there in what was 22 degrees it was 8 degrees with the wind chill. We're going, man, this is colder than Colorado. What are we doing here? Yeah, that was in the night. All the pipes froze in Dallas.
Oh, gosh.
We're out the tarmac like at 3:30 in the morning, going, really?
what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here? But you know what was always going through my head? This is for the baby and for that mom.
Yeah.
And it put a smile on my face. I mean, it was like, okay, this is worth it.
That's awesome.
And then we kept going, Tampa and then Atlanta and now Chicago.
You picked warmer spots, but then you ended with us.
Yeah, they're all cold, though. People in Tampa are going, sorry for this cold spell. What is it? 60.
This cold spell.
They're all wearing jackets. Yes. No. I'm in a t-shirt going, what are you guys doing here?
Swimming, right.
At these events, it kind of centered around this ultrasound you were talking about in Times Square and other places. Never having seen it, what is the reaction people have as they see this ultrasound? Talk to us about that moment in the event.
You're both pastors, so you have led people to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know that point when you know that they realize it, that they got it. You could see it in their faces.
Yeah.
It's very much like that. In New York, in Times Square, I just remember we had great speakers. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., spoke first. Wow. Christina Bennett, powerful African-American from Connecticut, spoke about women and the pro-life movement. And Benjamin Watson, formerly from the Saints. What a great thing, a Christian NFL player playing for the Saints. But then they traded him to the Patriots, which, you know, those of us in Denver are going, what?
Yeah. So I think all football fans feel that way about
what's going on there? But Benjamin got up there and spoke powerfully to men about the issue of abortion. And one of them said, you know, more black babies were killed in New York City by Planned Parenthood last year than were born.
And no kidding.
Here was one of the outcomes. One of the components of the protest group were made up of Black Lives Matters. You know, they put the dog whistle out, go protest the hate group, Focus on the Family, only to hopefully find that we loved them to death.
But
you know, go protest them. I mean, it was pro Planned Parenthood people, LGBTQ, and Black Lives Matters. And so when Christina or Benjamin said that, they dropped their signs and walked in with us.
Wow.
And I went, wow, there's a scale dropping from the eyes moment. I mean, my rationalization watching them was they're thinking to themselves, why are we standing with the people that are trying to kill our babies? Let's go stand with the people who are trying to save our babies.
Wow.
And it was one of those moments like, boom.
That's remarkable.
That's powerful.
We
did a story September, August with Drew Brees and Focus on the Family.
Oh.
And I remember being struck by the fact that you guys at Focus on the Family were being characterized as a hate group. Like that sort of language. Wondering what that was like for you, just in general, kind of the way greater culture has been starting to describe Focus on the Family.
We were having so much fun.
I don't like you guys. like either one of you.
There you go. Those of us in the church.
Who cuts your hair?
Get them, Jim.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I think I've got a number of friends in the LGBT community, and I appreciate these relationships. They have taught me a lot, and it changed my heart. There's not a monolithic, you know, group.
Right.
They're very, you know, different in all ways. I mean, some believe in religious liberty, others do not. And they look at us in very much the same way, that we're very monolithic, that we're, what was that church out of Kansas, the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah, right.
They actually asked me, isn't that how all Christians behave?
It's heartbreaking.
I wouldn't consider them Christian because there's no fruit.
Yeah, right.
Love, joy, peace, goodness,
right.
You know, those wonderful things that the Lord gives this world. And so it's unfortunate. You have to, you just can't let it penetrate you. You know who you are. You keep moving forward. And I would only encourage Christians who do wag their finger. I've never heard a testimony like this. Those Christians were so mean to me. They hated me so much. I decided to become one of them. I just have never heard. I mean, you're pastors. Have you ever? It's always, you know, I treated them with terrible vile things. And I said rotten things to my Christian friends, and they always responded with kindness. That's what drew me in. Like Romans 2:4, don't you know it's God's kindness that leads one to repentance?
That's right.
And I'm just, you know, one, I try to wake up every day remembering I'm not Peter in the garden with the sword. I'm trying to be Stephen laying my life down. And we need more Stephens in the body of Christ.
That's really good. All right, so you clearly, you have so many things going on, so many projects and endeavors, and I'm curious if you'd be willing to peek behind the curtain. What do you do when you're not doing all those things? Like, what's just a leisurely day in the life of Jim Daly?
Hon, is this the list I need to get done today?
Sure, sure.
I've only got an hour.
This is why he does these chores.
Yeah,
no kidding. Man. No, I. It's so funny because when Dr. Dobson asked me if I wanted to take this over back, and it was 04 when he asked me, 05 when I took the role.
Okay.
And I remember coming home to my wife, Jean, and saying, hey, this is what Dr. Dobson and the board is thinking. And she, the first thing she said was, who would have thunk it? Really built my ego up.
I was hoping you'd have thunk it.
But the next thing was so funny. She said, hey, the trash needs to go out. And I went, I looked at her jokingly and said, oh, I don't know if I could take the trash out. And she gave me that eye like, hey, you're going to take that trash out.
We've never gotten the eye.
You know, wives have such a great way of convincing their husbands to do what they're asking. The eye.
Oh, you want me to take the garbage out? I'm on the radio.
I'm a radio personality.
For the record, I've never said any of these
things. Can I just say, within 30 seconds, the garbage was gone.
Yes, exactly.
But it's that kind of thing. And it's just normal. I remember dropping Trent off at school, my oldest. I think then he was in ninth grade. And I probably been in the role 5-6 years and he jumps in the car and he goes, dad, are you the president of Focus? I said, why? He said, my friends at school today were all telling me you're the president. I said, no, you just work there. I said, what's the difference? And he goes, well, you know, if you're president, that's a different thing. Are you the president? I said, yeah. He goes, why didn't you tell me? And I just, frankly, because I forgot. It sounds bigger than it is or better than it is.
You didn't send him the memo.
I just never, it wasn't that critical to me. And I just love that. You know, people in Christian leadership, I think one of our great Achilles heels is we tend to think more highly of ourselves than we should. I mean, who should we be thanking? Who should we be admiring is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All the rest of us are just on equal footing, right? We're all sinners saved by grace. And it's one of the things I think that we've got to work on. We've got lots of cousins of Caiaphas in the body of Christ. We're pointing a finger at the world very quickly to say, hey, you're not behaving the way we Christians want you to behave. Well, duh. They're not subscribing to what we believe. But for us, why aren't we holding each other accountable in brotherly, sisterly love? Say, if you're going to be a Christian, I want to see the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have it, let me mentor you in that way. And I, you know, that's just part of it.
That's great. So we've been talking about this event to really talk about abortion. And I'm wondering about if there's a woman out there right now listening who's going, you know what, I'm really considering this. I'm kind of lost. I don't know where to find hope. Could you speak to her a little bit as she's kind of driving in her car right now going, I
absolutely
don't know what I want to
do. I mean, there is that immediate situation where maybe she just found out she's pregnant and she doesn't know what to do. It's an unwanted pregnancy, as they say. I mean, one of the things, most towns, most cities, certainly here in America, there is a pregnancy resource center nearby. Now, they are in direct competition with Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics in your city. But they want to show you a free ultrasound. And I would go there. I would go there for the counseling. If you don't know where to go, call us at Focus on the Family. We can give you some guidance on where to go. But that will at least inform you. You know, what I see with the abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood particularly, they're trying to pass laws where the pro-life community has to talk about abortion with a woman and commands it. They want it in California to put signs up requiring them to say you can get an abortion and list locations even. I mean, it's ridiculous. And all we want to say in the pro-life community is we believe we're all made in the image of God and that your child already being formed in your womb is made in the image of God. And God has a purpose for that child. And I know there's going to be hardships and there will be difficulty. But people are there to help you. I'm an orphan kid. I was my mom considered abortion when I was born in California. Because in that state, even before Roe v. Wade, if you were over 40, my mom was 42, you could get a medical abortion.
Right.
And my dad talked her out of it.
No
and
kidding.
I mean, so it was happening then. Quality of life is not having life. Yeah. Having life and letting God guide that life is key.
That's incredible. Powerful. All right, so like in the minute or so we have left, one of the things that we've tried to do with the show, it's kind of the heartbeat behind the word common, is how do we create common space for people that come from different perspectives, different theologies, different backgrounds, to have an important dialogue. For someone listening who's like adamantly pro-life or pro-choice or somewhere in between or has friends on the other side, like, can you just give a word of instruction or coaching on how we can better have a conversation around these like really important issues?
Well, one is to remember not to take it personally. You know, I in a different space, not the pro-life space, but in the LGBTQ space, I was speaking at an event and there was a gay activist there and he put his hand up and I called on him and he said, when are Christians going to get over their uptight sexual behavior and get into the 21st century? And I'm smiling the whole time, and it's irritating him. And I said, hey, it's really great of you to want to make me the editor of the book. Because there's some things in that book I'd like to erase. Like when you look at a woman have adultery or, you know, have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Let's get rid of that one. Most guys would agree with me, most Christian guys. And the same is true there. We've got to help people understand we're followers of what we believe. We can't edit the book. And in the same way, when you get into these discussions with people, know that there's visceral feelings and we've got to engage them with kindness. Be firm in the middle, soft on the edges, and allow people to see the heart of God in that. And then just appeal to their sense of fairness, logic, wisdom. I think people in their heart know what's right, and that's why they fight so hard, because they're really fighting what they see in the mirror.
Yeah, that's right. Jim, thanks for that answer.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. You can hear Jim every weekday on AM 1160 at 11:30 a.m. You can learn more at focusonthefamily.com. Thank you again, brother, for joining us today.
It's great.
Really great to be with you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.